Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
Getting people saved. Come on, somebody. The word says, because I'm going to go over there to Mark 11, after we go to Mark 11. It says, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Amen. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Okay, turn over to Mark 4. Go to Mark 4 with me if you would. Now, this message, what was called, is faith destroyers. See, the just shall live by faith, are faith destroyers, and faith distractors. And many people are distracted. And so what had happened is, the political climate we're in is a major distraction. It will distract you. Are you following me? Now, those people the people dying in the pandemic, that is not a political situation. That is a health situation. That's like a famine. It wasn't voted in. It didn't come in because of who was in office. Who was in office just happened to be in office when it came and how they responded to it. Are you following me? These people are dying. And so here we want to speak life that this thing stop. So this is a unique situation. And so in any case, the scripture warns us as believers to keep your position, your salvation through the word of God. You must maintain it or you will get distracted into other things and it'll choke the word. And then the word of God says this. I remember when I first looked at this, I said, wow, this is something important. It's so important. It's in red writing in your Bible in Mark chapter 4. Are you there? Are you looking at it in chapter 4? We heard this before. I know you heard it before, but you look at it because it's really alive in the time you're in right now. And, I'm like a real political person. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Matter of fact, tomorrow is Martin Luther King's birthday. I mean, his birthday when is his real birthday? What day is it? Y'all calling out some different numbers. Who know? Who actually know? It's the 15th, isn't it? Okay, that was last week, wasn't it? Friday, okay. But we're celebrating it tomorrow. I'm off, you off. No, some of the other words. So anyway, Dr. King, if you come along in the 60s, come along, I mean, you were old enough to understand, Dr. King was a theological, he was a preacher, but he was involved in political issues. Amen. He was involved in political issues because he was one of the foremost leaders in the civil rights movement. Civil rights. And so because that civil rights had to do with our rights in the Constitution as American citizens. So now you're into politics because politicians decide, they vote. And things had to be changed in Washington politically in order for us to have the rights, amen, that we have, that we did not have. Amen. And he was preaching about that. He was sharing about that, getting the voter right, people getting the right to vote, amen, and voting on these issues so they could be changed in the Capitol. They could be changed in Washington. So we have rights to vote and do things we didn't have a right to do. And that's why all that information in Georgia, with Georgia voting and Stacey Abrams and vote. Come on, somebody. You see how easy you into politics? Well, it wasn't always politics. It was life when we could not vote and we could not eat at a certain restaurant. We couldn't go. It was more than politics then. It was mistreatment. It was mistreatment and discrimination before it became politics. And so Dr. King, amen, standing for the righteousness of the people, men and women of God. You're the one who the men and women of righteousness. You're supposed to know right from wrong and righteousness, amen, in every nation. And so that role that Dr. King started, many men and women went into law and politics after that through the civil rights movement. John Lewis, who died recently, John Lewis was in that march in Selma. Amen. He was along with Congress of Racial Equality and Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Amen. And these particular civil rights organizations that were fighting for the rights of black people and minorities to have these rights. Amen. These were basic rights that were already in the Bill of Rights and in the Constitution that we should have. Okay, so that was a fight. It was a faith fight. And Dr. King quoted scripture, amen, and shared with them. And of course, he's a Nobel Prize winner, and we honor him because of that. So here we are. The voting rights bill that came into place then, the voting rights bill is about to be removed. The right to vote by everybody is about to be taken away. They can't even imagine that. So there's another bill, amen, sponsored by John Lewis, for people to have the right to vote, for minorities to have the right to vote. America is situated where if certain people don't have a right to vote, certain other people can do stuff they wouldn't normally do. Amen. And so in any case, that's on the table now. John Lewis, he just passed. And so these historical figures, it make a difference with you. Many of you who hear me now, working at the place you're working now. Because, you know, there were certain Jim Crow laws and discrimination in the South. And down in the South, it was different in different places. So here, in the Bible, when you look at the Word of God, and I'm going to move quickly here for time. So in Mark chapter 4, there is this balance that you have to have where you're dealing with righteousness, amen, but you're not drained. See, you're not drained because you just get in the worldliness, it'll drain you. There's no power. The power is in the Word of God. And Dr. King operated in the Word of God. Are you following me? And so we'll honor his life and his birthday, et cetera, amen, as a national holiday. Now, in verse 4:14, it says the sower soweth the word, but underline the word in your Bible. Now, what happens is, remember what we said earlier about, amen, you save and appropriating the Word of God? Say that with me, say appropriate the word. Okay, this is key. I want to keep saying this over and over because it's in the doctrine on divine healing. It's in the doctrine on prosperity. It's in the doctrine on provision. It's in the doctrine on guidance. The Word of God has to be appropriated. And there's a level of the Word of God that you have to be exposed to. You know what? Satan don't care if people come to church as long as you don't get the Word. There's no opposition. There's no opposition to good choirs. There's no opposition to friendly people. The opposition is to the Word of God. The fight is going to be over the Word of God because God, this is the only thing God confirms. I hope I didn't offend anybody last week, and I'll tell you that churches have, in the church world, that there are certain distractions, and I call them the sugar. It's a distraction, certain things people like. Amen. You know, you like a nice choir. That's good. I like a nice choir. But you wouldn't say by a nice choir. You say by the word. You know, I like friendly people. I wouldn't say by friendly people let you die and go to hell. You say by the word. Jesus died for you. Not friendly people. Jesus. And so once you get Jesus, you can love friendly people and mean people. You can love good choirs and sorry choirs. Yeah, you have a propensity. You're able to function at levels, at high levels, when everything around you is not perfect. So many people, they're looking for a good choir or friendly people or nice buildings. Amen. God doesn't confirm any of that. So you get to the word, and then it builds from that standpoint. Can you say amen? All right, so here, as we look at the Word of God, somebody say the Word of God. All right, so in Mark 4, it said, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Now, this is Jesus in red writing. Remember we said about Jesus, his birth, his life, what he taught, amen, you know, where he came from, where he's going, and what he did. You must constantly stay focused on what was accomplished, what God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Well, it was some things that God had wrought in him before he died. In other words, Jesus, a man without, he who knew no sin became sin. He lived a life of perfection, and what he taught was crucial. The love, if you love them to just love you, you know better. Amen. So in other words, so these things, these words of the Word of God, to appropriate, we have to appropriate these areas, amen, of course, and then walk in these areas as men and women of God who are saved. So he says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard the word, Satan cometh immediately. Who come? Well, where are they at? Where are y'all at? Satan come, where y'all at? On the earth. The devil on the earth. He on the earth. Demons on the earth. They were cast out of heaven. I will tell you that story and went off on something else. Amen. But yeah, he was cast out. So he's not here in the earth. Amen. He was teaching you before you got saved. He was your trainer. Well, not only that, the Bible said you're of your father, the devil. Man was lost by Adam's sin. But God said, I'm going to get you back. You got to turn to your neighbor and say, God got you back. I'm not talking about he have your back and cover you. He recovers you. Because you were his, he recovers you. Your life is not your own. You are bought with a price. That's what I'm talking about. And so the scripture says, and these are they likewise, where the word said, immediately that taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Okay, see, he's after the word. You read that. Put that down and read that. And what has to happen, you can't just be casually familiar with this, because there's another aspect of this teaching on faith destroyers and faith distractors, where the word of God has to reach a level in you to where its power overrides everything else that could come to your life. The power is in the word of God. All right, so here, and I'll come back to that. So in verse number 15 it says, taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with what? Gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure before what? A time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Underline that in your Bible. Now, we've covered this before. I guess, you know, in 30 years, I should have covered a lot of stuff before. But you might not have been the one here going through the notes. But if you've been reading the Bible, you know this itself. You've got to understand and monitor your relationship with the Word of God, amen, the Word of God in your life. You can't get too familiar with it. You need the Word every day. Day by day. It's full of power. God's Word is still full of power. It still renews. It's still fresh every morning. And yes, it is. And so, as a believer, you live by the Word of God. Your spirit man eats the word. It doesn't eat the stories. It doesn't eat the news on TV. It doesn't eat politics. It eats the word of God. It has to have the word of God. All right, so the word says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure before a time. What do you think that means, so endure before a time? The word don't last? No, you won't. There's a timing to your ability to stay on task and stay in the things of God and stay in fellowship. You will become weary and faint in your mind without the word of God. You still cannot depend. You still cannot depend to go daily on the strength of your natural mind. God has given you the word of God. When the word of God said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's a constant process, because the carnal mind, it'll keep trying to go back to its old ways. All right, hold on. Let me make this. Maybe I'll wrap this up with this. Your carnal mind will keep attempting to go back to its old ways. It still remembers. Are you following me? Your flesh, carnal thinking, the flesh program, did not get saved. Well, I'm going to be all right. I'm saved. I'm all right now. Yeah. See, you're thinking your natural inclinations are going to lead you to the things of God. They're not. I say they're not. They're going to attempt to go back. What you think you like when you backslide? How can there be a concept of backsliding without a memory of the old you. It's programmed in your body and in your thinking. The carnal mind, amen, the carnal mind is the great aspect of it. There's some things in your mind from your selling days you haven't even addressed yet, but they're still there. Yeah. There are people come to the Lord, they never was good at forgiving people and still like that today. They were mean. They still mean today. They have not addressed that with the word yet. Well, why haven't they addressed it? They figure they'll be all right. No, you won't be all right. You won't be all right on your own. You need to confront it with the word of God to walk in love. There had to be a transformation does not occur without exposure and meditation on the word of God in every area of your life. When the word said we were dead in trespasses and sin. Let's go on now. See, we're talking about the problem and fixing it. You're not going to fix the world until you fix you. And God has made a plan to fix it. Oh, everybody, you look so good. You look so sweet, so nice. Don't trust that. Don't trust that. The Bible is pure truth. See, in other words, this aspect, when you got saved, many people got saved because you didn't want to go to hell. Some got saved because you wanted to go to heaven. But in both cases, you didn't want to address your current condition. Addressing your current condition would take longer than making this decision of not going to hell and to go to heaven. It doesn't take long to decide that. Now that you've decided you don't want to go to hell, and you want to go to heaven according to the Bible, okay, you made a decision that Jesus is the answer to keep you out of one and into the other. What about you? What about the devil and what he did to you? What about them 40 years you served him and you got trained by him? What are you going to do with all that information? That's your walk with God. Oh, it's just gone away. No, it didn't just go away. It's programmed in your database. It's certain sin you go to because you was trained to go to it. Lord have mercy. Well, you talk to us like we're not saved. No. I know you're saved. But it's your body and your carnal mind that did not get saved. And if you don't submit it to the Lord, it's going to keep giving you problems. This is probably for the people out there, but it's good when I'm just telling you like this so they won't think it's for them. And then it's good that I tell you that I'm telling for them and you won't think it's for you till you on the way home. And the Holy Spirit started telling you, oh yeah, that was for you all right. Amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, we all need it. Turn to the other neighbor and say, I look good, but I need God. Turn to the other and say, I actually feel good, but I don't trust that. I need the Lord. Come on, somebody. That's called humility. That's called humility. Amen. Somebody probably told you yesterday or this morning how good you look. Don't trust that. You probably do look good, but you ain't that good. You got work to do. Turn to the other neighbor and say, I have work to do. No, don't tell them they have work to do. Say, I have work to do. Lord have mercy. We can go home on that. You'd be amazing to think on the way home, God said, good. Now, you know, you're ready. Now I can talk to you now. We can talk. Now I got some stuff for you. I have a blessing for you because you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due season. Can we finish this Bible verse? The sower soweth the word. I didn't even get to my outline notes and stuff, amen. But when you look at faith destroyer, see, in other words, because you had a word, it produces faith. Many of you have faith. You've got more than enough faith to transform your life. But you got to know how to protect your faith, how to release your faith, how to use it. America, it's so much stuff in America. We good at not knowing the value of what we have and not placing a demand on the value of what we have. Are using what we have. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm serious. In America, that's in everything. So when it comes down to tapping into value that's in your life, that's in our life, the enemy keep you so busy doing stuff that you haven't checked you out yet. That's why it's so important to look at it. So the word says, And these are they likewise which are sown on good ground, who when they've heard the word, Satan cometh immediately they heard the word, they receive it, verse 16, and receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure before a time. Afterward, affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake. Arise for what? The word's sake. Now, here's an interesting thing. You come to church, or you read the word, and the word is the answer, and then you read the word, and the devil come for the word. Well, why don't I just not go at the word then, so the devil won't come? Then he'll destroy you because you don't know the word. Then he will take advantage of your ignorance of the word. So the only answer is, you got to get ready for the fight. I said, that's the only answer. You must get ready for the fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. See, you're trying to look for an area where you don't have to do nothing. Or you have to do something. Because the enemy already planning to kill you, make you sick, and make you miserable. You say, I don't want to live like that. Okay, let me give you the word. You get the word, the enemy's going to come because of the word. What you doing? What you doing with the word of God? Well, I want victory. You can't have it. Yes, I can. Is my inheritance. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Then the word said to have no root in themselves and so endure before a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arrive for the word's sake, for what? The word's sake, immediately they are what? Offended. Underline the word offended. It's one of the biggest areas in people's life. They get offended. Stop being offended. You're going to grow like my people here who are military. You're military people. Didn't you want to beat the drill sergeant up? Didn't you want to ask the drill sergeant who you think you're talking to? Then you learn, you better not say anything. Because you've given them a right to your life. Listen, what did you say? You can't even roll your eyes at the drill sergeant. You're like, soldier, what are you doing? Step up. Oh, yeah. Many people have not been submitted to outright overt authority in their face. They've never had it. So they've been petted around. They've been petted around by the uncle, aunt, grandmama, everybody. Everybody catering to you like you're so special. So when you have to face authority, you're not ready for it. In the little inconvenience, you become offended. Amen. Like that's going to do something. So Jesus warned them. He said, the devil going to come for this word. He said, he's going to come for this word. But this is your answer. This is your power. How many of you ever been offended before? Don't raise your hand. How long did it take you to get over it? All right, then it said, and these are they which are sown among thorns, which hear the word, verse 18, such as hear the word and the cares of this world. This is really where I was going. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in. That's three things. One, the cares of the world. Number two is what? Deceitfulness of riches. Number three, lust of other things. All right, one more time. Cares of the world. Deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, enter in. And do what? Enter in. And do what? Enter in. And do what? Choke the word and it become what? Well, if you don't have no word, there ain't nothing to choke. The devil does not have to tempt you with the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, because you haven't graduated to that level yet. See, that's another level. You go to that level, and so the enemy, he's not going to slap you and take your stuff anymore. You've gotten past that. You're not offended anymore. So he's got a different deal for you. You busy. You in the world news. You in all of the current stuff. Amen. You got all your time is spent on the internet. You trying to see what the world doing and what they're going to do and who's going to pick this one. And you ain't got no time for God. Say, when people hit rock bottom, so to speak, and they come to the Lord, you're in a great position. You're ready to pay attention. You're not distracted anymore. Amen. You don't have to worry about them repossessing your car. They already got it. You don't have to worry about losing your house. It's gone already. You don't have to worry about you and your wife getting along. She gone already. So you're ready to hear the voice of God. So you're in a position you haven't been in before. Amen. You don't have to worry about getting healing because the doctor told you you're going to die early. Or you ready to listen to God. See, that's a case for people. That's sad. Why are you yelling, Pastor? Excuse me. I was trying to make my point. Yeah, you make that point so I can go to lunch just to get to that point. God is good, isn't it? Oh yeah, a lot of people, they're not ready. They won't come in and judge the church. Where y'all get that pastor from? Listen, you ain't no position to be judging where we come, get me from or nothing else. You need to get what you need to get. If the Lord done led you in here, the devil is hot on your trail. Oh, come on, somebody. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. He been doing it a long time. Amen. I don't know about that healing. Good. That's ignorance. You can get the word of God. So this area here, all of this, all the political climate, there's some crazy stuff going on politically. I don't know if y'all heard it, but in the news, about a week or so ago, some people attacked the Capitol. Did y'all see it? Was just there? I thought they had made that up. Oh, surely they're making this up. Surely they must be at what the brother name with the studio in Atlanta? Surely they're at Tyler Perry's studio in Atlanta, because he got a Capitol up there on it he made for the making the movies. Surely this is a movie. No one in their right mind would do such a thing. The cares of this world. We're going to leave it all, saints. The deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Amen. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So nowadays, I mean, we got a pandemic going, political haywire going, all kind of other stuff going. Can you focus on the word with all that going on? You better. I say you better. Spend your time in the word of God. Amen. I don't mean no harm. You'll make some time for the Lord. Spend time in the word of God. Amen. So God, none of this is a surprise to God. There are no surprises to God. Amen. And so here, and you know, the prayers you pray for other people, standing in the gap, your love walk, it's going to take a whole lot of word for all of that in the time we're in right now. We're living in some unprecedented times. There are things going on in America. Two of them have never happened in our lifetime. Unless you were living in 1918, you'd never seen anything like this pandemic. And that movie they were making about the people attacking the Capitol, they never made a movie like that before. This is the first time. You know it had to be a movie. People came on the next day and they were interviewing. I said, oh yeah, it's got to be a movie because they're not in jail. They in an interview. They're interviewing them and they're not in jail and they're not killing them. So this must be, oh, there's a movie here. No, it ain't no movie. It's really happening. But there's another movie coming that's better than this one. The Bible says it's the tribulation. It's not going to be a movie either. It's going to be worldwide. Amen. You won't be here for it, but you will know about it. God is just good, amen. You love the Lord. Give the Lord a praise. I'll pick up you next time. This is so much word. It's so good to see you. Amen. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from the Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of the Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's theheirchurch.org.